Hello, everyone. Hello, loved ones. Welcome to Infinite Love Radio, enlightening conversations, inspiring guests. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host. I'm a spiritual healer, teacher, and author of 101 Transformational Insights for Mind, Body, and Soul. My global vision is to connect people to people just like you to create oneness, and through support and universal guidance, educate people just like you and I about the power within to heal oneself and others. Simply, I am here to love myself, love you all, and love God. You can learn more about me by visiting www.spiritualityinsideandout.com. As always, I invite all of your questions, comments, and suggestions to infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. Dear beloved, today and every day, my highest intention is to support you to awaken to your true self in the present moment and to cause and create oneness inside and out. Thank you for your participation and giving me this opportunity to serve you. I am humbly grateful. Bless you. On today's show, I will be sharing with you a prayer, just like always, followed by our very inspiring guest. Our guest today is Michael Skornowski, who's the author of the book Unforgettable, A Love and Spiritual Growth Story, which is an inspiring true story about love, miracles, and facing the challenge of cancer in a loved one. His Unforgettable book has received many great reviews, and his blogs receive high praise daily. Michael is a mystic and a scientist, a healer, and a software engineer. And you know what? He is a great deal more. To learn more about Michael and his new book, please visit www.unforgettablebook.com. But for now, I invite you, before we have Michael on our show, I invite all of you to be present, to get yourself into the here and the now, to bring your consciousness with me, Michael, yourself, your mind, your body, your soul, all the beauty, all the wonder all around you, and all the beauty, all the wonder, and the God, the divine, the spirit within you as you are holy right here, right now. You are holy, you are whole, you are complete, as you are a beautiful emanation and a child of the divine, a beautiful emanation of the light of all that is. In this moment, I invite you to get yourself present with a few deep cleansing breaths in. Here we go. I invite you to take a deep cleansing breath in and exhaling with an ah. I invite you to shake it out. Shake your head, shake your shoulders, shake your arms, shake your legs, shake your booty. Shake it all out. Unwind, unwind right here, right now. Here we go again. Take another deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhaling with an ah. I invite you to sound it out. Express it through your throat chakra. Ah. And allow yourself to unwind and relax. Relax and let go of the tension that you are holding on to. In your mind, around your eyes, in your jaw, around your shoulders, all the way to your abdomen and your back, your legs, all the way through your feet. Simply being right here, right now, you consciously choose to. Here we go, another deep cleansing breath in. Good job. Breathe in. And again, exhaling with an ah. Exhaling. Exhaling, exhaling. As you're choosing to inhale the breath of life, as you're choosing to accept. Accept the present moment as God is, I am, you are, our guest is, unifying on the air, creating oneness inside and out with gratitude and appreciation to all that we are, all that we have eternally inside and out as we awaken, as we choose to see all the goodness, all the blessings, all the grace that is here for us, head to toe and all the opportunities and possibilities inside and out, we say in this moment, we are grateful, we are thankful, and we appreciate the allness, the oneness, the God within and without, the spirit inside and out, the universe inside and out, and whatever name you have for your true self, for your heart and your soul, and the wonder all around. We are grateful. With this I say thank you, blessings to you, and so it is. And so it is, right here, right now, as I reintroduce our wonderful guest, Michael Skornowski. Michael is the author of the book Unforgettable, A Love and Spiritual Growth Story. I invite all of you to stay tuned all the way to the end, because in truth, 1 hour does not do justice for this book, but there is so much awareness and learning that we can gain from Michael's experience that is unlimited in this moment. Without further ado, we want to welcome Michael. Michael?
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, welcome to our show. Thank you very much for taking time out of your very busy schedule.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. It's great to be on it.
Thank you. I know you've been going around speaking and shows, promoting your wonderful book. It's magnificent, your book. I just couldn't put it down, honestly. The vibes. Each chapter, the vibes. It was amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the compliment.
No, congratulations. So, Michael, in your own words, you say life is training us and evolving us. Now, Michael, you say that, but some people out there, some of our listeners, wonderful listeners, may say, I'm sick and tired of life training me. When is it going to end? When is it going to end?
Well, I don't think it is going to end. This is an eternal life that we're living. It goes on and on and on. But the beauty is, as it trains us, and if we really are truly learning, we can improve it.
Yes.
The quality of our life improves. Mm-hmm. And we can be happy anytime we choose, no matter what's going on in the outside world.
Right. And you also say these traumatic events that occur in our life can make us bitter and miserable. They can help us to become an open-hearted human being who has a great deal of compassion for humanity. So you have chosen compassion.
Yeah, that's a really big key, and it's a big key to happiness. The biggest thing that makes our lives miserable is our judgments about what's going on. And also, if you're aware of law of attraction and how we create our reality, happy thoughts, happy mental states of being create a future that's happier. It creates a now moment that's happy, too. Mm-hmm. But it certainly starts drawing real life events to us that are much happier and more beautiful.
Right. Would you say compassion for ourselves first, being good to ourselves first?
Well, if you do that, then you have the capacity and the energy to have that for another person. But if you don't have compassion for yourself, it's very difficult to find it for someone else. It's incredibly difficult.
Mm. Michael, through your profound experiences that you very openly and authentically share with us in your book, and I really appreciate it, some of the stories are very graphic and like really open. It's like I'm like seeing inside of you. That's how I felt. I really appreciate your openness and your authenticity in the book. And where I'm coming from is that what can we say to people out there that have been really traumatized and they've been abused, you know, and they've been neglected and they're listening and they're saying, or they know someone, a loved one, and they're saying, how can I have compassion for myself through everything that I've gone through, and how can I have compassion for other people? What would you say to them?
Well, like we already said, it needs to start with the self. The first person you have to take care of is yourself. Now, a lot of these people will have responsibilities in their life. They might have a husband or a wife to look after and children and, parents possibly. But, you know, you have to do your duty in life, your jobs. But you need to make that time for yourself. You need to do the things that nurture yourself. And what most people are doing is they're picking up other, what you might want to call vices. And I don't want to put a judgment on something that people are doing. But you can compare what people, you know, in general do with themselves, like watching, you know, mindless shows on TV or, just going out and, you know, constantly gossiping with friends or whatever the activity a person is doing, and you can compare those to activities like spending time with nature, playing with the animal, you know, something that lights your heart up and makes and brings joy to you, playing with your children or your grandchildren, things that make you feel really happy and joyful and carefree and relaxed rather than cause you stress or build in somebody else's concept of life that really doesn't do anything to serve you and improve your life. And so by spending time doing things that energize you and fulfill you and bring you into a lighthearted state of mind, you start naturally making sense of life. You start gaining energy, which gives you the capacity to have compassion for yourself and begin loving yourself.
Mm, beautiful. And we are being hypnotized all the time.
Absolutely.
Everywhere we look, we're being hypnotized. Let's break this pattern, this habit, you know, that we've accustomed to. Let's break it by... I love to meditate. I'm like in a constant state of meditation. I love to go inside and explore what's inside of me. And through that way, you know, through clearing myself, I gain love and compassion for myself, and my heart opens, and therefore I'm able to give. This is the way I do it. Do you do that, Michael?
I do, and you know, I love meditation too, but there was a time when I didn't enjoy it very much. It was almost like this duty I was doing because I was supposed to. It was part of a spiritual practice, and I didn't really understand what it was for. But what you said there was really perfect. It's getting the chance to know yourself better inside and bringing yourself to a state of peacefulness that is a great contrast to the busyness of our everyday life. And that's... it's a very energizing thing to do when it comes to you that way, when you come from that perspective on meditation.
Mm. And talking about meditation and self-realization and all of that, let's talk about your wonderful book. First, I want to ask you, Michael, what's your intention with this book? What is the intention?
Well, my intention is to help people realize just how good their life can be and to help them realize where we're making our mistakes in life. Because as you said before, I was pretty open with that book. And at that time in my life, I was making a lot of mistakes in terms of how I was dealing with my own life and how I was dealing with other people. And so I clearly lay out what some of those mistakes were and, you know, what I did about it and the results that I got before I made any changes and the results I got after I made the changes. And they were pretty profound, including, for me, one particular healing miracle. Many coincidences and healing miracles in my late wife, Catherine. So there's a lot of benefits there. I wanted to show people what our potential really and truly is.
Mm, and you did. Through your own transformation, your love for your beloved late Catherine, God bless her. And I just want to, as I was reading the first page on invitation, this paragraph really stood out, if I may. You write, this is a love story. This is not only a love story between a man and a woman, but a love story between creation and creator, between humanity and God. I hope that you fall in love while reading this story, fall in love with life, fall in love with all that is, fall in love with yourself. Come play with us. I love this. What an invitation. I got it. I got it. And I hope our listeners out there, you're getting it too. Would you like to elaborate on this invitation?
Well, I wrote it that way because that's how I live life these days.
Mm.
And, you know, life used to be a struggle. And the physical part of life is still sometimes a struggle. It's still difficult. But any time I want, I can shift into that perspective and just stand there and be grateful to be alive, be grateful to be breathing, be grateful that where I look, I can look around this room I'm sitting in, I can look around outside, and I can find something of beauty to focus my mind on. There may be something ugly somewhere to look at as well, but what am I choosing, the beauty or the ugliness?
Mm.
And we have a choice, and I can always focus my mind on something beautiful. There's something there, somewhere to focus it, and when I do that, I feel good.
Mm.
And you know, this is life, and it is eternal. So it's best that we learn this skill right away. It's the most important skill we can learn, to to appreciate life, to be grateful for life, and to realize the Creator is us, is in us, and we are also the creation.
So beautifully said. You know, I can really identify with this book as I went through my own healing with lupus and a lot of other serious, you know, near-death accident, divorce, and just a lot of stuff with kids and family that I don't want to really go into. I really identify with the awakening that you had, the enlightenment that you had, and the sessions, the meetings that you had with some of the masters. It's really, and I believe that everyone can highly, and I'm not just promoting this, I'm not getting anything out of this, listeners, but it's, there's so much message that all of us can identify with, you know. There's so many people out there that either have a life-threatening disease or know someone, right? Mm. Or knew of someone that passed away, and your beloved late wife passed away of cancer, and this is a love story. Would you like to talk about it? Please go ahead.
Well, we had to deal with cancer, certainly. It was part of our life, and Catherine and I had been together for 7 years, and of course she dies at the end of the story. That's how the story comes to an end, basically. But for the last 3 years of it, we were dealing with her cancer, and you know, one of the things that amazed me about Catherine and the way that she was able to deal with it, she was a master at dealing with pain. She had had a lot of it in her life and had been unhealthy, physically unhealthy, for a great deal of it, and she was able to be a loving, a kind, nurturing person, even while she was suffering with cancer and the pain and the difficulties of it, and even through the chemotherapy and even through the vomiting and different things that went on for her. And the other aspect of it was, you know, I learned certainly from that 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 was a possibility to enjoy life even in the midst of some of the worst physical difficulties. Mm-hmm. But I also learned how to manage my own energy such that I was able to be helpful to her during her period of difficulty. There were times where she would ask me to change my energy because it was making it more difficult for her. And at first I took it as an insult, like, you know, I didn't do anything. But then as she kept asking, I realized, okay, what is it I can do? And I asked God, what is it I can do to help this woman, to make this better for her? And just by moving into, out of the space of being offended by what she was saying, to this questioning, intentional desire to try and be helpful, she would tell me, oh, that's it. That's what I need.
Oh, Michael, I'm just going to jump in because I clearly remember this. It's in Lessons in Energy, the chapter.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's magnificent how sensitive and how you were able to just change like that and she got your energy.
Mm. There were many times in my experience with Catherine where I didn't understand energy and I wasn't feeling it. But she did. She understood it really well. She felt it really well. She was able to articulate what she was feeling to such a degree that it was like she could read my mind or anybody else's mind. And this is what, at least from my experience of psychics and channelers and stuff, they're not so much reading your mind, but the energy that your mind is creating, the feeling tone that's being created by it. And so she would catch me, you know, like there's also an experience in there where I relate when I'm doing energy work on her, Reiki energy work on her.
Right.
And where I had my hands on her back and I wasn't really feeling what I was doing, but I had asked Holy Spirit to move the energy through me and to help heal her. And she said, oh, Michael, that's so wonderful what you're doing. And she couldn't see me, and I didn't change my position or posture or my hands in any way. But I immediately went into this, oh, wow, I'm doing this wonderful thing, you know, with my ego.
I got that. It's me. I'm wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm so grand. I'm so me, I know.
And so once I did that, she immediately said, no, that's not it. The energy changed. It doesn't feel good anymore.
Wow.
And I knew it. I knew what I had done in that moment. It was so obvious to me because it was such an instantaneous, I thought something different. She said, no, it's different. And I was like, whoa, okay,
oh,
I'm getting out of the way, Holy Spirit, you do this work, I'm getting it back out of the way, and I'm letting you do the work.
Wow.
And as soon as I had that thought, she said, oh, there it is, it's back again.
That's amazing.
And so by those kind of experiences with her, I learned what energy was about. I learned to notice the feeling sense of energy. And, you know, now I can pick up people's energy, too. I have to be more intentional about it than she is or other people I know that, you know, this is their main modality, that, you know, they're very psychic and they read people's energy just instantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I have to be somewhat intentional. There are times it spontaneously comes to me, but that's usually when I'm in a pretty open, happy, easygoing place.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, I have to focus on it and put my intention on it. And when I do, it's there.
Right.
The information's there.
Right. Michael, just hold that thought while we take this opportunity to reintroduce you. This is Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morvetti, your host, for all you wonderful listeners that may have just joined us or the wonderful listeners that have been listening to us. We've been speaking to Michael Skornowski, who's the author of the book Unforgettable, A Love and Spiritual Growth Story. We've been talking about energy and the intention of his book. And for more information about him and his book, please visit www.unforgettablebook.com. And I just wanted to ask you, you say in your book that she's your teacher. I really get that she was your teacher in many ways. You also say she's a master of love. Master of love? Master of love. She's your teacher. Master of love.
Yes.
Wow, what a name you gave her. That's profound.
Yeah, she was. She was a very loving person. She really, you can tell when someone's loving because you look at the effect they have on other people. When they calm and soothe other people, when other people flock to that person to spend time with them, you know, that's a loving person. That's a person that has an energy and a vibration people want to be around. And that's what she was like. She had that kind of vibration. And we had two funerals for her after she died, and both of them had a lot of people at those funerals. And I was so impressed at it. One was in the hometown where she was born and raised and lived most of her life, and then the other was where we were living up in the Seattle area of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just amazing the way that people expressed themselves about the experience she had upon them in their lives.
Absolutely. I got her love through the book. And just going back to energy, all the way through the book, the message of energy, energy, energy comes through. And as I was reading, I chose to connect to Catherine on an energetic level. And she gave me insights as to, she told me, I want you to manage your energy. You need to learn to manage your energy when you're giving too much of yourself. And she gave me all this guidance as to take care of myself, drink water, all of this. For any of those listeners that are like, what is she talking about? It's just on an energetic level. It just is. Right, Michael? It just is. And I really, it was a confirmation of everything that I am practicing and that I'm aware of. I'm highly sensitive to energy. I pick up on people's energies like left and right. And
yeah.
I just get affected. Just like what you said, a positive thought, a high vibration, a negative thought, a low vibration, I pick it up right away. So
yeah.
What's the message of this, the energy all the way through, if the reader is reading it? I mean, I know they're going to get it. And I don't want to give too much of this out
well,
to the listeners. But
this is a process. If a person, either person understands you very well and what you were saying, and they're just nodding their heads, yep, that's what it's about, or they don't. And if they don't, here's my challenge to you. It's a good challenge. Start asking, what is this about? Constantly ask yourself, what is energy about? And then notice. Notice how good you feel during a day. Do you feel good or do you feel bad? Do you feel happy or sad? Are you joyful or are you angry? Notice how much energy you have for a particular activity. Do you feel like just going to bed or do you feel like actually getting into it and you can't wait to get into it? That's the energy of it. When you wake up in the morning, are you ready to go? Or are you just thinking, oh no, I gotta get up and start my day, you know? This is energy. So the things that you're doing, they either energize you or they take your energy. The things you're doing with your mind, they either energize you and make you feel good or they deplete you and they waste your time and they make you tired and they make you ill. You know, it's one or the other is happening. So Pay attention to those things. And the best thing I can say for people who really want to get their energy right, to have the most energy, is when you're in a negative feeling place, do anything you can to bring yourself into a positive feeling place. And monitor what that is. So if it means having a glass of wine, you know, then you need to monitor that. Does one glass of wine help you feel more relaxed and better? Does two? Does eight? Yeah, after a little while, it starts depleting you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So don't just go carried away and thinking, okay, if one did it, you know, 10 will do me even better. You have to monitor it all the way through. If going and spending time with your children makes you feel good, then do that. But if you spend, you know, an hour with them and it's wonderful and then the next 3 hours is miserable, well, that's the point at which you need to then stop and rebalance yourself and re-energize yourself in a different way.
Right.
So it's a constant process of noticing. Am I feeling good now? Great. Go with the flow. If you're not feeling good, catch yourself. What am I thinking about? What am I doing? What am I talking about? How am I thinking about other people? Is this serving me?
Right, right. And we're so used to looking outside of ourselves and not paying attention to who am I? Where am I? Am I being present? Where am I right now? What am I doing? What am I thinking? How am I feeling? No, we're always, always in society. We have so much to do, family, work, right? But we can always, always. I mean, this is what I went through to heal myself of lupus, and since then it's been my knowing, my being to be of this. You know, I wake up, Michael and the listeners, I wake up saying good morning to God. And actually I have taught this to my children, to both of my children, to just wake up, and not with resistance or anything, not forcing it, because they do believe in the oneness with God inside and out. Good morning, God. And as I just say that, I feel like I'm present. I'm here. This is my intention, is to live with my God self, or whatever term you have for yourself. It doesn't matter what name, right? What name we give it.
No, the name doesn't matter.
Huh?
The name doesn't matter. It's just the intention and the knowing that you're connecting with this deeper part of yourself that goes beyond this physical body and connects with everybody and everything everywhere.
Right, right. So let's talk about the book further. There's several chapters about past lives and how you and Catherine get learning from your past lives and past life regressions. And for anyone out there, I'm a true, not a believer. It's not a belief. It's my knowing because I experienced it from within. Not knowing anything about past lives through my healing of lupus, I experienced this. I had an awakening. I saw many of my past lives, and I did a lot of clearing. So in your experience, you did also. But what would you say to anyone out there who does not believe in past lives, but how a part of them would like to experience it? How could you guide them?
Well, I would start saying be open to it and start, you know, asking yourself about your philosophy about life and what you understand about life. Because, first of all, if God's intelligent at all, and based on the way the universe works, I would have to say God is intelligent.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have to ask yourself, does it make sense that I'm born one time and I have to get it right in one time? And you know, what belief system did you grow up with? One that tells you that if you didn't get it right, you're condemned to an eternal hell, and if you did get it right, you're blessed with this heavenly experience that never changes, that you're there forever and ever in this heaven and all that. And, you know, ask yourself, how many people, when they die, are they ready to actually die? Or how happy would a person who's getting old and feeble and starting to, you know, look around and see the young people and go, wow, wouldn't it be nice to have a young body again, to jump and skip and play and fall in love all over again and experience the new toys that are coming onto the planet. You know, there's so many things. If you just look at life and start questioning them, you start to realize the idea of reincarnation is absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we die, when our life is over, we get to the point where we've done what we can with this life experience, with this body. And when we transition out of our body, we get a period of time that we're out of our body experiencing other dimensions of life that God has also created. And then we get a new body to come back and have a whole different experience. We can choose the opposite sex if we want. We can be, if we're a man, we can become a woman, or if we're a woman, we can become a man. We get to, you know, if we were rich, maybe we want to feel what it's like to be poor. You know, or maybe we want to live in a different country, grow up in a different environment, in a different culture, and experience a whole different way of being and living life. But have you ever looked at someone else's life and thought, wow, I wish I could have their life? Mm. Well, this is that opportunity. Mm. You get that chance to try in a whole different, it's like trying on a new pair of clothes and getting in a new car, you know? It's a different experience. And if we really are eternal beings, isn't that sound like more fun to you? Don't you think God wanted us to have fun?
Absolutely. God is fun.
Yeah, God I know fun. It that way.
So do I. I just want to share with you, Michael, and the listeners, that through my healing of lupus, when I had lupus, I had excruciating, only one of the many, many, many symptoms from head to toe that I had was excruciating pain in my legs. At one point, I did a past life regression on myself, and I saw myself being hung and beaten in the legs. And I truly got, I mean, that was one. There were many reasons for the excruciating pain in my legs. One was holding on to anger. That was another one. So, yeah, after clearing and getting my learnings, and what I do is I ask for learnings, and I forgive, and I repent, and I ask for forgiveness. I take responsibility, all of that. I could really feel the energy moving through my cells on a cellular level. It got cleaned up. So, and not just by myself, for many, many past lives that I've done on myself and with my clients. It's so amazing. Would you like to share any of your experiences briefly, Michael, about a past life if you would like to?
Well, yeah, I do. I won't get into the full story of it because that's in the book, and we don't want to take up all the radio time for that. But I had a similar experience with past lives, and I had had 5 years of back pains that were waking me up after 4 to 6 hours of sleep, and I was in excruciating pain, and it was pretty intense. And there were times I woke up and I was crying because it hurt so bad. And I was basically told that, you know, that I needed to do my own past life regression and come up with the, you know, past life that would give me the answers to this. And I did that. I did that regression, and it took me a few times before I was able to actually get it. And there's, you know, that more of that's in the book of how that happened. I'm really cutting the story short.
And it's in detail, everyone.
Yeah, but essentially what happened was I finally did come up with the past life memories that led to it healing basically overnight. That morning I had the memories of it. That evening I had a very strange sensation in my body. It was like I was on drugs or something. And that evening when I slept, that night when I slept, no more pains. They were gone. And it was like I was healed after that. It was the most amazing thing that I'd experienced in my life.
Isn't that amazing? Now, Michael, my question, and if anyone out there is interested in knowing, can you coach anyone or support them in doing any past life regressions or any kind of spiritual coaching or mentoring? Are you doing that?
Yes, I do. I do that. You can find my contact details on the unforgettablebook.com website. My email address is there. And there's also contact details for my two blogging sites. One is on MySpace, and one is on a website called gr8wisdom.com. And either one of those ways, you can contact me, and we can work out whatever details we need to help get you into a better place and help do some coaching for you.
Beautiful, beautiful, because you are a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're an author and a teacher, very clearly from your book. And I'm in total support of everyone. Everyone on this planet Earth is being their God self, doing whatever they're doing. And I'm in support of everyone. If anybody out there is looking for support, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so I wanted to talk about, there's a quote in there, you talk about resistance in your book. You say resistance gives power to the things you are resisting.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Focus your mind, your thoughts, your energy on what you do want and not what you don't want. Yes, so many times I'm resisting and I catch myself immediately. As soon as that vibration, that, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go here. Oh, what? I'm like, uh-oh, there's a resistance here. I give it up. What is it? I give it up, and I choose this, right? I choose a more empowering intention or focus.
Yeah. There's a lot to go with resistance, and it comes back to the feeling. How are you feeling with the thoughts you're holding? You know, there's times I resist. I'm still working at Microsoft, and there's times I want to resist going to work. But as soon as I start that resistance, it's a very bad feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is this is where my money comes from, and it's a significant income. So this is why I'm going there. And so I decide and I choose that to be grateful for the fact that I do have such a good income, and that where I work is a beautiful place, and I'm treated well, and that I have, you know, this, that, and the other thing that, you know, I do enjoy. And I focus on that instead of the fact that, oh, why aren't I some wealthy author that everybody knows now, and I'm just spending all my time doing lecturing and healing work, you know, which is what I'd rather be doing. But one day that'll happen. And so I can also focus on the fact and imagine, you know, one of my favorite imaginations is the day that I get to be on Oprah, you know. It's like, oh, that's going to be so great, sitting on the Oprah show and talking to Oprah and all her guests in the audience. And,
let's call
you know.
It right now. Oprah? Oprah's people? Michael wants to be on your show. Hello. You know, what did they say? There's only like, we're only six people away, or how many people? I don't even remember. From the, you know, they say we're only like five people or six people away from the person that we want to meet in life.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you heard of that? Anyways.
Yeah, I've heard of that. And, you know, so I feel it's inevitable. One day I'll get on her show. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to meeting her and giving her a hug or shaking her hand or whatever I get a chance to do.
Oh, divine timing. Divine timing. You know, we're talking about resistance. I woke up today after half an hour of good morning, God, and I'm feeling positive. I'm feeling great about my day. I'm running my errands. The resistance sets in. And I'm like, oh, my God, my energy is coming down. I'm bending forward. I'm feeling yucky. And then all of a sudden, the voice comes in, you know, the God within I call, my true self. This is an opportunity for you, Michelle. Consider it an opportunity. And right then and then, it was just like somebody poured water on me. Yes, I'm all into opportunities, and I said, thank you for this opportunity. I embrace it. Thank you so much. Thank you. So, yeah.
It's absolutely true. You know, there are so many different ways we can focus our mind to completely change what's going on in a situation. But it goes beyond that, because it really does cause the outside world to respond to you differently.
Mm-hmm.
I have had numerous, and I'm talking at least 100, maybe 1,000 times where I have witnessed and experienced the outside world changing as a result of me changing my thought in a way that is so dramatic and to be called a miracle by most people. And some of those stories are in other books. There's another book out there called Living the Law of Attraction. It just came out. And I relayed another healing miracle that I had where I had sprained my wrist. And within about 20 hours' time, I had healed that wrist by changing my thinking. And there's another story that's going to be published in a book that's coming out in another month or two. And that is a story about how I changed my attitude about the drivers in India and how dangerous they were, and completely changed my mind because it was driving me crazy and it was causing me to actually do some pretty nasty things. and because of the change in my mind, I then, after that point in time, encountered drivers that were kind and courteous and not doing crazy stuff. And it was like my whole family was like, what's going on here? It really made a dramatic difference in what we experienced in the outer world.
Absolutely. Our inner world creates our outer world. And with that, let's take this opportunity to reintroduce our wonderful guest. This is Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morvati, your host. Our beautiful guest today is Michael Skornowski, who's the author of the book Unforgettable, A Love and Spiritual Growth Story. He's also a mystic, a scientist, a healer, and a software engineer. And you say, and a great deal more. You're all that is, Michael, right? You're infinite and eternal.
Yeah, well, when you're eternal, you definitely are a great deal more, aren't you?
Absolutely. Limitless.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, you know, we were talking about energies inside and out, our inner world and outside world. I just recalled a moment that, I don't remember when, but it just came up, that I was so upset that I actually caused something outside of me to break. Like, this really popped up. And then it was like, whoa, at that moment, it was like, my thought actually caused that. And these are the moments that are really awakening, at least for me. Because I pay attention. I really pay attention to everything inside and outside. And I'm like, this is powerful.
Yeah, and that's so pretty amazing.
I'm sorry?
That's pretty amazing.
Yes, I am very powerful. No. Beware, I am very powerful. No, but really, I'm sure that, I don't know if you, but our listeners, they can get what I'm talking about, you know, in one way or another, I'm sure. There are people out there that go, oh, yeah, this makes sense. My thought can cause this. So my thoughts cause lupus. So, and then when I change my thoughts create a healing. So it's very powerful.
Well, when a person really understands how life works, it's not as amazing or miraculous anymore, because this whole universe is created by thought, this whole physical reality. And if you look at what science says about it, you know, science has basically proven there's more empty space, void space, than there is what we would call physical matter. And they've also proven what is physical matter. The thing that we call physical matter is in one moment solid and physical, and in another moment, pure energy. Mm. And Einstein proved it, and the atomic bomb proved it, that Einstein was correct, that that one single atom of physical matter contains an incredibly massive amount of energy, such that when you break that atom, it creates what we see in an atomic bomb explosion. The release of energy is so huge, it is incredibly destructive and powerful. So, you know, there's a lot more going on, and when you realize that your thoughts are what creates an energy and moves energy in a certain way, and you realize that energy is what forms matter, then it's not so difficult to realize that we really and truly are causing ourselves to either be healthy or unhealthy based on our thoughts. And science has also measured that when we are in a negative place and are thinking negatively, we're releasing an overabundance of certain chemicals and hormones. Like, one of them is called cortisol, yes. And that one is responsible for a myriad of diseases like cancer and Alzheimer's disease and quite a few other things.
Diabetes, right?
I believe so. If you look it up on the internet, you'll find a lot of information about cortisol, that hormone, and what it does to our body when too much of it is put into our bloodstream. And that's what happens when we get into judgment and anger, depression, you know, the basic negative emotions.
Right. And I just want to touch upon another subject that you talk about in your wonderful book, Unforgettable. It's really unforgettable. I just want to keep saying unforgettable. It's like, it's very, why did you choose this title?
Well, I chose it because the song Unforgettable was a, was like our theme song. It was like Catherine and I's, that was our song. And, you know, there was a point where, you know, she had bought the cassette tape with that song on it. We were into ballroom dancing, and it was a good song to dance to, and we loved dancing to it, and then she bought it, and for us to enjoy, and so it was a perfect story song that matched how I felt about her. She was an unforgettable person, and she made me feel that way too.
Yeah. Oh, I totally get it from your book. I totally get how much you were in love with her. Sincerely, thank you. So you talk about responsibility. You said to be responsible is the ability to respond in love. To say I do not want to to be responsible. Say, I do not want to be conscious. I love that. I love it. To be responsible.
The ability to respond. To be responsible is to have the ability to respond. And if you're in a negative place, you're not going to respond. You're going to react. You're going to react based on your programming. You're not going to decide consciously what it is that you really want. And, you know, people that are reacting from their negative emotions, their patterns and habits that they grew up with, they're not taking responsibility. They're just, you know, what happens when someone throws a tantrum. They usually break something. They break a relationship, or they break a chair, or they break their arm or their legs, or, you know, they might break somebody's nose, you know. That's not being responsible, because that is that really the outcome you want, or do you want happiness? And the only reason you're throwing a tantrum is because you're not getting happiness. And if you think that throwing a tantrum and going into an angry response about something is going to bring happiness to you, well, that's not very responsible.
Right.
But if you stop and you decide and you consciously choose, you know what, something happened, and I can't change the fact that something happened, but I can change my thought right now, and I can change the way that I respond to this event so that I get a better outcome in the next 2 or 3 minutes and in the next 5 or 10 minutes in the rest of my life. And as you do that once or twice and you realize the power that you have in that, you know, someone who's never done that and they do it once or twice and they pay attention, they're going to see they have a lot of power in changing their mind. And then that will lead to them doing it 5 or 6 times. And that 5 or 6 times is going to lead them to 10 or 20 times until that's the way that they live their life. Mm-hmm. Because they get so much positive energy out of doing that, and their outcomes become so much more like they want their outcomes to become, that they realize this is what responsibility is. Mm-hmm. Choosing consciously, mm-hmm. to decide consciously how I'm going to create the next moments of my life.
Sure. Many people have asked me over the years, how did you heal your lupus, or how did you heal through your accident or your divorce? Or on a daily basis, I do take responsibility. I say I took responsibility, and I'm continuously taking responsibility for my thoughts, my actions, my words, and my deeds. And some people's perceptions or interpretation is, oh my God, it's such heavy burden. I'm responsible. No, you know, it's like, no, you're responsible. That means you have the power to change, right? You have the power to transform. Mm. You have the power. This is the power within you. And I'm so grateful that we have this power, you know?
Yeah, we do have it. And I think a lot of people, the problem is they've spent a lot of time blaming others.
Mm-hmm.
And they've spent a lot of time saying, this isn't my fault. This is a terrible thing that's happened to me, and I didn't do it. And, you know, the whole idea of blaming and fault-finding is very problematic. It's really not going to serve anyone to start looking at life that way. And that's not what responsibility is about. Certainly, we are the creators of our life. But if we've got a situation that we've created that we don't like, we don't have to blame anyone for it, and we don't have to blame ourselves for it. We just have to realize we didn't understand.
Mm.
And now we have an opportunity to understand, and maybe you don't believe this is true, but if you just try it, if you just give it a try a few times, give yourself 30 days to try it as often as you can and see what difference it makes, then you will learn something, and then you can say, oh, I do understand something more about this than I did yesterday. So, and now my outcomes are becoming better. And so it's not about blaming yourself. It's about realizing, oh, I just learned something that will help make my life better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of this, for me, and I'm sure for you too, didn't happen overnight. This was years of taking responsibility for one more situation, in one more moment becoming aware, and changing my inner programming in one more thing, and doing that every day for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And over that period of time, more understanding came, more happiness came, more love came, and the benefits are there. You get the benefits, and you get them immediately.
Absolutely. For me, it's a daily conscious choice. Whenever I'm out of harmony with the isness, with what is, I just, you know, go inside, how am I responsible, what happened, how did I cause it? And just we're talking about responsibility, here what came to my mind is when I had my lupus, I was halfway paralyzed most of the time on the couch from chronic fatigue and immobility. And my prayers to God was, help me learn any lessons in order for me to heal. I am open to learning any lessons. I didn't know what I was saying then. It was like so, like, I don't know where it was coming from. But that was the starting point for me. I realized I was taking responsibility. Even though I had blamed here, this, that, my past, this person, that person, I'm such a good person, why did this happen to me, why, you know, crying, I'm so good, I don't harm anyone, da, 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 da. But at the same time, how? And the doors just opened up. Here, this way. Here, I'm guiding you. I'm guiding you. Go here. Talk to this person. Read this book. Go inside of yourself, you know? That's a way of taking responsibility. That worked for me big time. As I was being patient, right?
Yeah. And the alternative is not very appealing, because the alternative is that you either stay stuck where you are or it gets worse.
Oh, for sure. I saw myself on a wheelchair if I didn't get moving anytime soon. I lived with darkness. I mean,
yeah.
really, my days were in darkness. And
yeah.
I'm so grateful that I experienced all these traumas in my life, because I'm just I consider myself like a better person. Just aware, more conscious, and totally in love with God. You know, my God, the God of all that is. I'm so grateful. Oh, Michael, our time is almost up, but not quite. I just want to talk about your blog. I was visiting you today, and I love all these subjects. For example, a powerful creative tool, giving thanks. Oh, if we could always, all of us, remember to be grateful. Oh, my God. You want to talk about that?
Well, gratitude is a real powerful way to change your energy and to draw more of what you're grateful to you. Whatever you focus on, you're basically telling the universe, I want more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're saying, no, I don't want this thing, or whether you're saying, yes, I love this thing, you're telling the universe, I want more of it. And so, you know, you look for the things that you're grateful for, and you have gratitude. And in the moment of being grateful, it makes you feel good. And so this is the most important thing, aspect of it. It makes you feel good right there in that moment. The next moment you can take care of by choosing another way to make yourself feel good. But right now, this moment, this now moment, you need some way to make yourself feel good. Gratitude is one of those tools, and it does it. But it also causes the universe to deliver more of that good to you.
Mm. Yes, yes, yes. For us to be grateful for who and what we are, this is my prayer every day. And I invite all of us to be aligned and be grateful. Oh, Michael, before we say good day to you, do you have any message for our listeners?
Love yourself. Love yourself with all your heart and soul. You're beautiful. Everyone is beautiful. You have God inside of you. You are God. You are God's experience. You alone are not God. You, along with all of us, are God. But you are one with every single being on this planet. We are all in this together. Love yourself, love each other, and let's make this world a better place. The potential is amazing. We can do some amazing stuff.
Beautiful. Are you sure that's it?
isn't that the what's most important here? Let's just have a great life, everybody, you know? Heal yourself, and we'll all have a big party together, a big love fest here on the planet, you know?
Celebrating the oneness, celebrating life.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Michael, thank you so much for taking time out of your so busy life, sharing with us, being open, and for your wonderful book. Congratulations and best wishes, and may it touch everyone around the whole planet, one by one, may it touch and inspire and help heal.
Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate it. I was very happy to be on your show today and really enjoyed speaking with you. You sound like a very awake and aware person yourself, and I bet you have a lot to offer to the listeners, too.
Thank you very much. I try my best. I do my best.
You know, this show is certainly a good resource for your listeners. Not just mine show, but the one I did, but all the ones you're doing. I'm sure everyone's getting a great benefit from them.
This is my intention, that everyone highly benefits and heals and is inspired and awakens and has fun. So thank you so much for your time. Blessings to you until we talk again. Good day
to
you.
Thank you.
And all you wonderful listeners out there, blessings to you, as this has been Infinite Love Radio, as we have attuned to each other in this moment, self-realizing, self-awakening, and realizing who we truly are and all the possibilities that we have inside of us, the power within to heal, to awaken, the power within to be one with the oneness inside and out, the power within to change and transform our lives one by one, day by day, moment by moment, as we are being present. Loving, accepting, forgiving, taking responsibility, and releasing any attachments, resistance, and judgments that we have right now. Let us all say, I let it go, I resist, I let go and I release my judgments. I let go and I release my attachments. I let go and I release my resistances. I let go and I allow myself to be in the present moment. And with this, I invite you to breathe in infinite love into every cell in your body and give it out to the whole world, for we're all one. And please join us next week as we have our wonderful guest, Glenn Francis, who is the author, spiritual teacher. Glenn Francis is a spiritual teacher in the human domain. He practices emotional body enlightenment and plus plus more. To learn more about Glenn, please visit www.heartofthehuman.com. Until next week, beloved, don't forget to visit our website, www.infiniteloveradio.com, and download our free guided meditations and insights. And as always, I invite all of your comments, suggestions, and emails to infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. This has been Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morovati. Thank you. Blessings to you. Until next week. Good day.